Perhaps in two texts I can bring together the curious case of the man up the post. How are you defending this, Jared? You're the biggest stickler for the rules, but you say there'd be uproar if the correct decision was made. Who cares if there's uproar? You can't climb the post. Your stance is making this more confusing. And then this. He didn't intentionally shake the goalpost. He never looked up, which would be the first thing you would do to check how much it was moving. Sorry, but you are wrong, Jared. Holding both views here. David King, welcome to the discussion.
I can't believe you've done this for half an hour. This is crazy.
Where do you sit here?
Where do I sit? I don't think you're going to suck me into this, Jared. I think that it's there to be paid, personally. You know, if you're going to give that 50-50, 100-metre penalty, then you pay this. Especially if Jake Stringer alerts the umpire and says, hey, He's not supposed to be doing this. So for me, the umpire then has to make a decision. It's not to go over and warn him. It's either a penalty or not. But, yeah, people are losing their minds ringing in today.
You've got a little bit of amusement for yourself?
Oh, I tell you, we're sometimes a little bit serious when we talk about footy. Can I just let you just listen in to Kelly Underwood and Tim Kelly after the game last night? Have a quick listen to this.
Your beautiful partner, Caitlin, watching at home. Did the boys get mum something today?
Yeah, they did. She can go true to herself. Got some laser hair removal treatments, a couple of sessions there. So, I'm sure she'll enjoy that. And, big happy Mother's Day to you, Caitlin.
How do you reckon he went when he got home?
That's excellent.
Oh, lost it last night. Lost it. That is hilarious. I'm not sure what did you get, Claire?
No, I didn't stray down that path.
No, I'm not sure Tim should have gone with that publicly.
That's excellent.
Anyway, sorry.
Masterclass in coaching. Yeah. So we started with Alistair Clarkson, Craig Bellamy, David Parkin offering his admiration as somebody who used to do it. The nous, the courage, the conviction to actually do something about it rather than just see how it all unfolds.
Yeah, fantastic audio from both coaches this morning. And what do you want from your coach? You know, what do you want? What does every fan want from their coach? They want an environment at their footy club that can allow everyone to be their best, whether they're staff or players or whatever. They want 100% effort 100% of the time. Now, that's probably an unrealistic standard, but that's what you're seeking. And I think when you hear Nathan Buckley talk quite regularly with you, he talks about, you know, making sure we've got the best people. When they leave the Collingwood Football Club, they're better for the experience as a person. But game day, we want influence. We want to see what the best coaches do to take away the opposition's strengths. And we talk about Alistair Clarkson every week. And we're talking about Nathan Buckley as well, because he's doing quite a few things. But if you look at that game yesterday, Hawthorn and the GWS. They've kicked five goals, Jared.
Mm.
Five goals in a game of football. This is the all-conquering, you know, slick ball-moving GWS Giants. They had 40 inside 50. So it's not just the job of one player to negate Jeremy Cameron. It's the job of everyone. They played a really slow game. They protected the space. They couldn't move the ball. They couldn't function, the Giants. They completely disarmed them. It was... Now, you called it a coaching masterclass. I mean, we keep saying, don't get beaten by what you know. Alistair knows this is a slick game up and back. They're going to get them.
Yep.
For talent, they're going to get them. You know, that third quarter, GWS had four inside 50s for the quarter.
There was so much that was mind-blowing in that game. That's probably the number.
Yeah. I think Alistair Clarkson sort of makes you start thinking, okay, what does he do? How does he format this sort of plan? And I think when he coaches against one dominant target, so think Lance Franklin in the past, Jeremy Cameron for the Giants, if he could take that off the opposition, then they're in real trouble to score. Now, Finn Layson still kicked, I think he kicked three of the five. But Jeremy Cameron, whilst he missed a couple of gettable opportunities, the game was taken out of his hands. There was constantly a player in front of his leading lane. It was impy at stages. It was different players. It was hard to tell on the coverage. Yep. I'll have a deeper look on behind the goals later in the day. But then that last quarter, they just shut the game down. 64 marks for the quarter. Some clubs don't have that for a game. So they just manage the clock and they put stress on the Giants to score another way. Now, that's something that Leon Cameron has to go back and say, okay, hang on. We need to be able to throw something else at the opposition if this is what they're going to do, if this is failing. So there's learnings on both sides, but what a coaching coup that was yesterday. And he still allowed players to be themselves. I think young Cousins is becoming a player right underneath our eyes and maybe someone we didn't know a lot about at the start of the season. And then his use of Impey and his use of these flankers we keep talking about, Sicily going everywhere, you've got Gunston going everywhere. Awesome coaching.
So how much of what he did holds for the week? A very specific game plan to beat the Giants. So says publicly, we're this and we don't tolerate that. Drops Roughhead, formulates a game plan. They have 8 days. They execute it perfectly. And how much of it then rolls into the next phase of the season. So that's the curiosity of it. How much is the 1 week and how much is the Craig Bellamy effect that might run through the next phase?
Yeah, and we don't know. And that's the mystique of what happens in those meetings, those Alistair says the four walls at Hawthorn. I mean, we're not privy to that, and maybe we don't need to be. I like the fact that we don't know. You know, what do they formulate for the week? What holds? You can't answer that. But what we do know is, the education process at Hawthorn allows the players the knowledge of why we're doing what we're doing. This is what we need to achieve and this is how we're going to do it. Okay, everyone understand? Bang. And you can see they understand it. And I talk about their pre-seasons. They don't say, there's no cone drills anymore. We don't kick to a cone. This is what we do, make the best decision. This guy's got space. Let's use him. You know? And I've seen their leaders do it right back to when it was Hodge and Mitchell, and it's carried through. So I don't think they'd play the game. I think they play what the game needs them to play. Mm-hmm. And they all play for a purpose, and they know it. So it doesn't mean that other coaches don't have the same assets, but we just see it more regularly with Alistair.
It was a sobering day for the Giants, and that was unmissable with Leon Cameron in the aftermath.
All week I said to you guys, I didn't think it was such a big thing. I understand there's a record. Records are there and it doesn't look good. And we, to be totally honest, we didn't mention it hardly at all during the week. Because if you want to be a really good team, it doesn't matter where you play. But I can't deny it now. I mean, we've had our worst performance for a long time on the MCG, so I understand what the headlines are going to be. So I can't sit here and deny that. We've clearly got to look at, when we come to Melbourne, when we come to the MCG, our record needs to be a bit better, obviously, there, but it also needs to be better when we come to Melbourne. Whether we play at Marvel or whether we play at the MCG, I don't think the ground got us, but today our effort got us, I reckon, and our effort wasn't up to AFL standard. And when that's not up to AFL standard, it wouldn't matter if we played the Hawks at Lonnie or at Marvel or even at our home ground at Giant Stadium. If we had played like today, we would have got beaten by anyone.
Yeah, and in theory, a lot of those other venues would be easier to cover the space, to guard space. I mean, the MCG is such a vast area. It really leaves you thinking, okay, if Hawthorn can do that, every team in the competition is looking at that vision now. And more specifically, yep. Geelong and Collingwood, the Crows, the Eagles, the teams that are going to be there at the when the whips are cracking.
So they're 1-8 at the MCG since it matters, since they became a good team. Their lone win was round two against Collingwood last year, which was a good one. They've lost two finals where they did play well, a semi against Collingwood and a prelim against Richmond. They've got Melbourne there in 2 weeks' time. They were humbled by Melbourne in round 23 last year. They were weary, but they got pumped that day.
Yeah.
There'll be a little bit extra in that.
Do you think it's the venue?
I do think non-Victorian teams... We live through it with Sydney. We live through it with West Coast. I think because they get to see it so rarely, and when they come up against a team like Hawthorn who plays it so well, I think it is a factor until you conquer it. But once you conquer it, it's conquered.
So
it, yesterday wasn't the ground.
No, I didn't.
But that it sits there until they play their best footy at the MCG. I doubt they've ever played their best footy at the MCG.
The bottom line is, if your game doesn't come to the G, you're not having success.
And that's why the conversation matters. It matters on preliminary final night. It matters on grand final day.
Yeah. And I understand that logic, that if the way you want to play doesn't suit the G. And that's why, I reckon Essendon play their best football at the MCG. You know, I think that open expanses of the G really suit the way they want to play. I think, when you look at – I think it's really difficult to be critical of teams on a finals record because they are genuine 50-50 games. You're the travelling team more often than not, clearly going to the G for that final. So the odds are against you more often than not. So I'm not really worried about the G as a travelling venue, but more the way they were picked apart yesterday.
David is in Melbourne. He's going to take us to the Bombers. David, welcome.
Hey, Jared, how are you?
Well.
I had first a reason why rules are in place, and then second, just an opinion. Rules are in place for me because we have gambling alongside sport, and there was lots of people that had money on Essendon on the weekend or Essendon into multis, and the rules are in place, so this is very clear at the end of the day who wins and how things get divided, and I'm disappointed that the AFL hasn't stepped in there. And my second one is, all morning we've listened about how coaches and clubs stand up for their teams, and I'm just disappointed why Essendon hasn't stood up for their players.
In what way? What do you want them to do?
I just want them to put something forward to the AFL that it should be looked at a little bit more, and maybe the decision should be reversed. We're just sending a culture to the Essendon players that coming second is acceptable, that you should at least make a stance and fight for your players' rights and show them that we're invested in winning. And I don't think Essendon has done that.
Yeah, that is a perspective, David. I think if Essendon did that, they'd be whacked for, or you didn't. You were poor on the night. You got what was coming. That's what it was great to hear Dyson Heppel on with Gary and Tim. We might replay a little bit of that as the morning unfolds.
If you want to experience the disappointment at Essendon, just have a look at John Worsfold's press conference.
Yeah,
he was hurting, and he didn't want to elaborate on decisions like that. I mean,
and it was very unclear at that stage as well.
So they'd had 120 minutes to gap that game, and they found themselves in a position that the last kick mattered. It shouldn't have come down to that for Essendon. They had their opportunity.
All right, we'll delve a little further into that as we go along with the means test and a full board of calls to work with as well. More with David King after the break.
It was a momentary show of support for my teammate, mate. That's I'm just as disappointed as everyone else, and absolutely gutted after that one, as players and coaches. And a wry smile on the outside shirt certainly doesn't reflect the emotions of that loss and the disappointment and frustration. So. It's a bit of carry on to hear that from my end, but really just a pure show of support for my teammate, and that's it. Yeah, look, it's knowing your teammates. What good would it be to walk up with a gutted look on my face and not even get around him? So he's had a shot after the siren to win the game and get around him, move on.
It was great to hear Dyson Heppel on Breakfast with Gary and Tim. Too much was made of his interaction with David Myers at the end.
He couldn't do any more. I mean, seriously, the guy, he bleeds for the cause. I really admire him as a leader and a player. He turned the club around last year and he's trying to do it again. But their problems are all forward of centre. 54 inside 50s for 6 marks. Yeah, what they're doing with the target going inside the forward, it's all on the target, their problems. And I know when they moved hooker forward late, they look most likely. Danaher's such a big out, but they have to replace that target. It can't just be Jake Stringer.
Yep.
It doesn't work like that.
All right, the Monday means test, there's a good set of calls. Happy to take more as we go along. 1-300-736-736. Lively start to a Monday. This is Waitley for Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That's Red Energy. And the BMW End of Financial Year event is now on at Doncaster BMW.
Heaven, stop dreaming and start riding.
Good morning, Meredith Gibbs with SEN News. Both major party leaders have hit the campaign trail with a vengeance as the countdown to Saturday's election begins. It comes as the latest news poll shows Labor would scrape in with a win. While Scott Morrison is still the preferred PM, Bill Shorten has closed the gap to 7 points. The Liberal leader says he's more than happy for it to come down to leaders rather than policy.
Look, this is going to be a very close election, and I'm very happy for this election to be about who you want to be Prime Minister, me or Bill Shorten.
A man who had his arm broken after being mistaken for a carjacker in Melbourne over the weekend remains in hospital this morning. Nick Demopoulos' friend says that he fears he may never be able to regain use of his arm following the botched police raid. Victoria Police say that they're investigating. A drink driver has been busted nearly seven times the legal limit in Adelaide. The 32-year-old man has been stripped of his licence for 12 months. To Queensland now, where Tropical Cyclone Anne has strengthened to a Category 2 cyclone as it continues to push towards the coast. It's likely to deliver heavy rain for the state's far north later in the week. And a father says that his daughter has been left traumatised after they were kicked out of the Sydney FC Melbourne Victory semi-final by police. Rory Carroll says he tried to take his disabled daughter to the nearest bathroom, which was in a restricted area, when security intervened and an argument broke out, resulting in their eviction. FFA says that they're investigating. SEN.com.au Sport coming up.
Coles Insurance knows what matters to you. You'll get a lifetime guarantee on authorised repairs, so search Little Red Quote. Consider the PDS at colesinsurance.com.au. Insurer Insurance Australia Limited.
Another injury setback for Orazio Fantasia. He's reportedly set to miss this weekend's game against Frio with a quad injury. Bombers skipper Dyson Heppel has told SEN he hopes so. He'll be all right.
Don't know the outcome of this, so we'll see how that pans out. But yeah, look, he's a crucial part of our side, and hopefully he won't have to miss.
And Lewis Hamilton has won the Spanish GP as Mercedes went 1-2 for the fifth straight race. Red Bull's Max Verstappen rounded out the top three. Weather up next.
Coles Insurance knows what matters to you. You'll get a lifetime guarantee on authorised repairs, so search Little Red Quote. Consider the PDS at colesinsurance.com.au. Insurer Insurance Australia Limited.
Accidents to look out for in Werribee. It's Derrimut Road and the Prince's Highway. We've got one turn lane on Derrimut Road in both directions onto the Prince's Highway blocked. If you're heading southbound there, crews are on the scene. Got the left-hand lane still blocked on Alexandra Parade just before Brunswick Street due to emergency sewer works. Delays from Yarra Boulevard on the eastern freeway through to the works. Tonight on 10, Grant Denyer is back at 6 weeknights. It's the new show where you've got to think fast or you won't last. Celebrity Name Game starts 6 tonight on 10. That's the latest SEN Sky Traffic.
SEN Footy, streaming live and exclusively on the all-new SEN app.
Every in, every out. Get all the latest team news as it drops, live on the Match Committee. Thursday from 6 with Sam McClure and Terry Wallace.
Rain, hail or shine, if you're digging for a living, the conditions are always perfect at Supergroups, Victoria's number one Kubota construction dealer.
Partly cloudy today, a top 18 degrees. A few clouds around tomorrow, 19, and similar conditions on the way for Wednesday. Right now, it's 15 degrees.
Powered by a 100% Australian electricity and gas retailer. That's Red Energy. Switch today. Discover the end of financial year event at Doncaster BMW.
This is your town. This is your station. This is Waitley on SEN.
What did it all mean? What happened on the weekend? There's no shortage of discussion and debate. David King searching for the meaning in it all. For what Hawthorn did, then there was what Richmond did. And when Alistair Clarkson talks of spirits, that's singing the tune of Damien Hardwick.
It was a great win. You know, to win in the state, a couple of guys down in the first half to show the effort and intent our players did, I thought was a terrific result. And you know, they did the club, and I'm sure our fans very proud back home, because it's always tough to come in the state, especially a side such as Freo that's playing some pretty good footy, to come away with the 4 points is a real bonus.
And some of these things are all in the maths, so you'll run us through what it actually meant. But so the question lingering over Richmond is, could they get left coming from too far back? That win is worth so much. Oh. It's worth so much against, with two down in the game, as well as what else they had going on.
Oh. I don't like the new Richmond. I like the old Richmond, where you were a chance. Gee, they just mauled them. Ross Lyon talked about their ability to hunt. They hunted. Wherever the ball fell, they were just swarming onto it. When they pick up the ball, they strike with such power. Those first 3 to 4 steps, every player that takes possession bursts. And it just puts fear into the opposition straight away. Where are they going? They're out. Everything's going forward. Yeah, Shea Bolton, what a fantastic performance that was. He lit the game up at the start. And I just thought, when you travel like that, if you can get away to a competitive start, you're happy. I think they scored 4 goals from their first 5 entries, yep, or something. It was ridiculous. The start was just went wow. I didn't see this coming. This has got, you know, a mauling written all over it. But to credit to Fremantle, it took them the next 40 minutes, but they fought back and they slowly got back in the game off the back of their captain, who was just unbelievable. But to be a Richmond supporter, you're just so proud of the way they play. You know, Lynch answered his critics from last week. I thought that he made a couple of statements, but Nankervis didn't play in the second half, so you thought, okay, you got so many stars out. Mm. Now you got no ruckman, and you're down. I think Ross was off early as well, so they were down a couple on the bench, and it was just okay. What's the coach going to do here? And Noah Bolter, who's been really one of the absolute finds of the year for Damien Hardwick, goes into the ruck, and things just roll on as they always do. So to see the way they perform, and we're talking a lot about coaching at the moment, but the standards at Richmond, with and without the football, are well and truly in front of any other team.
So Ross Lyon pricked your ears, didn't he?
The pressure, I thought, from start to end, they tackled us really. They hunted us really well. And that's a signature. We knew what their signatures were, and I thought early we allowed that to happen. Then we fought back, and then the most overrated stat is accuracy in front of goal. I thought they took their opportunities when we could have taken some of ours, really.
Yeah, signatures. It's a new term. We haven't heard that one yet. We talk about brands and identity. He calls them signatures. And yeah, they're evident, aren't they? You can see them with Richmond. They've got another one coming, Jared. I think Chris Nash's boy, the father-son, had 30 and kicked 4 on the weekend. So he may get an opportunity in the next couple of weeks. So that'll be exciting again. They just keep rolling them out. They keep wheeling them out.
Mark is with us on the road on this game. Hello to you, Mark.
Good morning, Jared. Morning, David. Your boys, you've stole my thunder because I'm a very happy Richmond supporter. What I love to see, David, is I love to see a coach who gets down on the bench and just rides every bump. He just wheels his side to want to win. And that's what we're getting from Dimmer at the moment. But what pleased me the most yesterday, and you're right, David, we lost a couple early, including our number one ruckman. And the emergence of Bolter and Bolton and Connor Menadue and Ryan Garthwaite, and you're spot on, young Patrick Nash, best on ground, I think 4 weeks in a row now. The seconds are on top. But those young kids, just for Dimmer to sell them a plan and just give me something, they play for him. It's just magnificent to watch. Couldn't be prouder of the boys, David.
Yeah, and I'm envious of the Richmond faithful right now. Because we talk about setting up plans that can win you games of football. This is exactly what Damien's done. He's discovered a hook that all these players, you know, are attached to now. It is awesome to watch. Awesome.
It was, and it played perfectly for them, didn't it? Against the odds, on the road. So, and it drew on what they'd already done in Adelaide. When it comes down to sort of spirit and those intangibles, they have it in spades.
Yeah, and we talked about Bolton at the start of the year. You know, can he make that transition from being a really good VFL player, a star in the VFL, right through the final series? You know, can he then go and become a high-level AFL player? What confidence he will get out of that? I mean, he probably knows he has had that in him, but we hadn't realised it or seen it yet, or it hadn't realised itself, but they spread the load so well, the Tigers.
Matt's in Coburg. Hello to you, Matt.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we today?
Excellent.
Now, I'd just like to comment, after the Carlton game for the Tigers and Rance went down and everyone came out saying Tigers just can't do anything, and Kingy would have the stats, and the stats really mean nothing. We've got players that have played 1 to 5 games, were equal third if you don't count percentage, and how many players are we missing? How many players have we played with? It's just amazing being a Tiger supporter at the moment.
Yeah, no, we're envious. There's no doubt about that. Look, the discussion for me with Rance is looking forward to a preliminary final type weekend. That's where everything comes home to roost. Will it be against a Fremantle on the road? I don't think so. You know, but that's the beauty of it. You've got to qualify, and the Tigers are putting together a pretty good season. Can I raise something we're not seeing?
Yes.
I think we're seeing the Sydney Swans Mark II.
Okay.
Up north, the Gold Coast Suns. What Stewie Jew's been able to do with this team in a short space of time is remarkable. Their back line on the weekend was under siege for the whole day, and they just found a way. Sam Collins, what he was doing was awesome. I mean, he's taken more contested intercept marks than anyone else in the competition. So got a guy from virtual oblivion brought back into the AFL system, just a huge return. Guys like McPherson in the midfield just making a name for himself. So they're doing this with a no-name team. Like they, we know they've been picked apart over the last 2 to 3 years. But the way they keep fronting up, I think you could make a claim that Stewie Jew's in contention for, if you had to award Coach of the Year right now and find some, they're sitting 14th on the ladder. I mean, they've been in most games.
5 1 goal games. So they've lost to St Kilda by a point and Melbourne by a point. They've beaten Fremantle by 3, Bulldogs by 5, Carlton by 2. Most of those included a 6-6-6 at the end with all the thrilling possibilities. So this is Stewie Jew and his overall, and he's probably, of all the coach right now, he's best qualified to tell you what it looks like.
It's pretty raw, but take Gold Coast hat off tonight. I mean, it's good for footy that there's 18 seconds to go and someone can still win or lose the game. So can't believe I just said that. But it's fact, you know, it looks better. It's better for the game. But like I said, not tonight for us. But there'll be a time when it's reversal and we get the result because of it. So sure, it was exciting to watch.
Spot on. And I think that just shows where these two teams are at. Melbourne had an off-season where they're thinking they're at the pointy end of the competition. We all had them in the top four discussions, if not, you know, premiership tips, like myself. But they've practiced these things. You know, Marty Hoare says after the game, no, we knew what we had to do. We were a goal down. We had to win the game. There's a minute to go. We're taking risks. So they've trained for that. Mm-hmm. They've done the two-minute drills. So they were ready for that occasion. The Suns, how many times do you reckon the Suns would have practiced that in the off-season? Yeah, they're still working out each other's names, right. Jared.
Not yet.
50 first dates up there. So I think that, you know, they're at different ends of the spectrum. And Stewie knows that. Okay. Did we lose the game? Yep. Gee, we didn't lose any fans.
Justin's in Bacchus Marsh. Hello to you, Justin.
Yeah, how are you, boys? Just want to say I love your show, for a start. Now, listen, I'm a very, very proud Richmond supporter today. I'm very happy with the win. Now, I just want to give credit where credit is due. As I say, years ago, we used to get, you know, a lot of bad comments about our recruiting and things like that, picking up the wrong players. Now, I'd say ever since we got Neil Baum from Collingwood, we just seem to be rolling out all these really good kids. Do you agree, or...?
Well, I don't know who it is. I don't know who's responsible. I mean, ultimately, it comes down to the leadership of your club, Nick. You can call it Damien Hardwick, you can call it Neil Baum, Brendan Gale, if you like. Go as far back as you want. But I just think the leaders at Richmond, both on and off the field, have just set up an environment that allows everyone to be their best. They love going to work. They love going to training. They were the first team, in my opinion, to create the fun house. Come in. We love you. Have a good time. You know, remember all the feedback about Higgins giving the three-quarter time addresses and are they being disrespectful? No, they're just being themselves. And I think that Trent Cotchin probably started when he stood in front of the group and exposed the vulnerabilities of him as a person. They all let their guard down and they've reaped the benefits. I think it's a full club thing. It's not just one or two individuals.
Paul's with us in Hawthorn. Hello, Paul.
Hi, Jared and David. Just hear me out. I'm a Bomber supporter, disgruntled anyway. In a private company, if I perform 1 week and then I don't the next, I'm in big trouble. Here, they get the money whether they perform or not. There's too many hot and cold players. The reason why they're not a good side, they're not consistent. The reserves are on top apart from the loss on the weekend. Throw more youngsters in. Go for the long term because to me it's only early May and it looks like they're not even going to make the finals. I'm disgusted. I send emails to the club. They don't get back to me. What sort of a club are they? You're the expert. What would you do? I throw more youngsters in. Go for the long term. I don't care if we're going to lose games. Some will make it. Some will make it. Some won't. But throw the youngsters in, and they'll be desperate to hold their spots.
Yeah, give us a couple of names. I mean, who have you seen in the reserves? I haven't studied that closely. Who would be likely or an opportunity to come in?
Well, I'll name one. Tipper Woody. He's a great player, but he's hot and cold. Throw him back the reserves. They get the money whether they play or not. Hot and cold. I go to work. If I don't perform 1 week to the next, I'm in the boss's office. What happens to them? This club doesn't even send me emails, replies to my emails on how you're going to solve the problem. Okay. I bet you Hawthorn, if I send them an email, they'd send back decency to send me an email back.
Yeah, well, look, it's the emotional game, Jared. It really is. I really love one of their young players, Redmond, Mason Redmond. He was fantastic again on the week. He's only played 10 games, he looks like. He's calm enough to be a 100-gamer already. He's a beauty. I think in their forward line, they've got too many players that the opposition don't have to respect. Yeah, they lead to the wrong spots. Right. They get there too early or too late, and they're zonable. And they can still impact the score. Darcy Parrish is a good player, but yep. I just don't think he's your forward pocket type or your half forward type. And the amount of times on the weekend where his player was able to drop off and impact the marking targets, it just renders your forward line dysfunctional. So that's something they need to look at.
I think in the emotion you have to factor in is, yes, there might be scrutiny if you're having a bad week at work. It's nothing on how intense the individual scrutiny is of a player at a footy club. That is so accountable. The idea of you're in the boss's office, that's happening. And not only that, is in front of everybody else that's getting shown in the review, and then your line coach is... The strict accountability that maybe we had a giggle at that's not there in the umpires at the moment, right or wrong, is that accountability is ruthless at a footy club on a player at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. It's not an enjoyable lifestyle often for the AFL player at the moment. A struggling star is an unenviable position to be in. You're not getting back to the umpires again, are you? You're not going rules versus
I've God. Got such a set of texts that I just got to choose my moment.
Not again.
Sid is in Williamstown. Hello, Sid.
G'day, Jared. G'day, Kingy. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Look, I've been an Essendon member since 1997 and a supporter since 1971, and that was as close as I've come to wanting to send my membership back to the club after Friday night. Just such lack of intelligent play. No idea coming out of defence. Blind kick coming out of defence. That high ball going into the forward line. Dyson Heppel, our captain, he bombs it in every time. And then there's just a lack of standard there, Jared and Kingy. People like Myers are able to float in and out of the game when they choose to.
Yeah, look, I think your point, similar to the first, the previous caller, I should say, is well made. There are a few players there at the moment that maybe are getting games or opportunities on the back of what they've done the last few years. You need to make a decision on some players. You need to say, are they taking us where we want to go? And if they're not, cut the cord, get some youngsters in. But you can pick your own names there. But Fantasia being out of that, potentially out of this side for a couple of weeks. I mean, he kicked 4 of their 10 goals last week. It's just going to be a hole they can't fill.
So Essendon's Twitter feed has Orazio Fantasia will miss at least the next fortnight after suffering a quad injury against Sydney. And you know, so I've told you about this before, King, is texting and tweeting sarcasm and irony. Just Ryan and Romsey has sent through, did I miss something? Why are we calling him Fantasia now? Ryan, I'm going to take that as sarcasm. Snapper's in Port Phillip Bay. Hello, Snapper.
Good morning, guys. How are we going?
Very well.
That's good. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but were you guys earlier on saying that Dyson Heppel couldn't really do much after the game and all that, and I heard what he said? I've got a mate who's diehard Essendon. I mean, I've never met anyone as much as him who's diehard, and when Essendon went through the tough times, he went through that tough time as well. But as a Carlton supporter, I didn't see the vision of Cripps until yesterday morning. And I tell you what, if you look at that vision, right, Essendon are 3-whatever. They're only 2 wins ahead of Carlton. They're talking premiership winner for the last year and this year. We've been unlucky as a club, and unfortunately we're unlucky again on the weekend. But if you look at Cripps' body language and the teammates around him, I honestly thought Cripps was crying. And his teammates around him got around there, pat on the bum, and said, mate, and you know, heads up, let's go again next week. That's what you want as a leader. But to see Heppel smiling after you lose, I'm sorry. If that was my captain, if Cripps done that after the Collingwood game, I would be absolutely livid. I would be there at training this morning having a go at Cripps saying, you know what, I don't want you as my captain. Move out. But what I saw with Cripps, I think you're a fraction harsh.
If you look,
Snapper, in your scenario, if there's one of Cripps' teammates who just hasn't been able to win the game after the siren, it's one thing to be disappointed with how it panned out, but going over and making sure your bloke is not completely downcast and feeling like it's him?
Yeah. Fans want to see the Patrick Cripps style post-match, no doubt about that. They want to see that losing hurts, and he wears it on his sleeve. You can tell that it hurts Patrick Cripps. It hurts Dyson Heppel as well. The still shot, the image of him smiling is not a real version of what happened. He smiled to a teammate to say, righto, not your fault. This loss is not on you. Let's move on. He smiled for all of 1 second. So let's not get carried away with this.
One more on Essendon. Gary's on the road. Hello, Gary.
Hello, Yeah, g'day, guys. Essendon fan, and the game against Collingwood and the game against the Swans on the weekend, I believe that I love the effort from Dylan Scheel. Absolutely brilliant. The unfortunate thing is, I think, too many times we get wrapped up in the good stats rather than in basketball terms, you'd look at turnovers. I don't think he uses the ball well enough, but I love his effort. I think maybe rather than go back as far as the last guy or the guy before that wants to change the whole team, I reckon change a couple of positions. Someone like Saad's using the ball really well. Put him up on the wing maybe. Put Scheel down the back line a little bit. Help him maybe come out of the back line with that running play and use the ball better rather than have him moving the ball into the forward line. I think Saad would be a better option. And I think that's where Essendon have missed out in those two games in particular, use of the ball into the forward line. That's what I think anyway. No good blaming umpires or anything like that. We're making some pretty basic errors, skill errors.
Good call. That's a really good call. I mean, 54 inside 50s for six marks. Something's not working. The connection's not there. I'm blaming the target for that. I don't think they had a dominant target on the weekend. They've really missed McKernan, as silly as it sounds. While Danaher's been out, they've missed that target. Brown's also injured at the moment. So they're down on that one particular spot. That's just the way it is. You've got to find a way to get through it. But you're right with Scheel. I mean, he kicked it at 25% again on the weekend. And you just don't get bang for buck. I mean, he's a great clearance player. Seven clearances again on the weekend. So what he does is what he does well is really good, winning the ball in clearance at the moment, but he's got no connection to the next target.
You were at North Melbourne and Geelong yesterday, so David King on the means test will take us there after the break.
Radigalia pumps it into the pocket. Dangerfield's his target. Ball at ground level. Kelly weaves his way through. Ablett!
He said about icing it late, finished with four goals in total. You were there watching it, David King, and there was that moment of foresight in the commentary where he predicted what was about to happen, and then it happened precisely.
He has terrorised the Kangaroos, this guy. I don't know whether you heard it yesterday, but of a possible 27 Brownlow votes from the last nine games against the Kangas, he's got 20. Four best on grounds, four second best on grounds. He had one game where he didn't poll, and he had 28 and kicked one goal once. I'm not sure what happened that day.
Yep.
He's just a freak. He really is. I know he's clubbing a few people at the moment. He's playing like an angry old man at times, but what he's been able to do across half forward is amazing, really. And if you can just look past the simple disposals stat sheet or the line on the stat sheet, if the umpires can do that and look at those that are influencing games, he's in Brownlow medal contention again. I mean, every time I've seen Geelong play live, at key moments, he's separating games. Four goals again yesterday. He's probably in the votes again yesterday. And Kelly will be clearly the three votes. He was unbelievable. Until the post-match, he had a personal best day. But Gary's probably second or third best on ground again.
There's a few Ablett callers. Ross is in Fremantle. Hello, Ross.
Oh, hello. I was going to talk about Ablett and maybe how he let you down, Jared, in terms of his actions. But I actually thought I would change tact and talk about our captain, Nat Fyfe, and just what a special player he is, even when we got mauled. This guy averages more Brownlow medal votes per game in the history of it. The only other person that's above him is Hayden Bunton, and he will overtake him at the end of the season. He's an unbelievable player that we won't see again because of the way he crashes in. And that kind of big body, because he'll come under scrutiny probably for crashing in, but he's a really special player. Averages one Brownlow medal vote per game over his career.
Yeah, they're tied together for lots of reasons today, Ablett and Fyfe, not the least of which what will be going on behind closed doors with Michael Christian at the AFL at the moment. But what is it, most votes in total and then best percentage of votes per game. So you can delve here in a moment, Kingy. We'll just get the news headlines with Meredith Gibbs. Thanks, Meredith. David King's running the Monday means test. So Nat Fyfe.
Awesome. He's been unbelievable, hasn't he? I mean, he's such a big frame, Jared. I know he's a bit clumsy at times, but he's a competitor. Does he get weeks? Does he go?
The question of force in both of these is the starting point. So there's that instant reaction to whack it in the chart. It has to be a suitable force to be a reportable offence.
What was your answer there, Jim?
I think they're borderlines.
You don't get away with not answering me, Jerry.
I think they're both borderlines. Yeah.
Borderline?
Yeah, I think they're both borderline.
What happens with Gary? It's an exact replica of last week. So Chris O's job is the MRO.
Yep.
He has to grade it the same and then it has to go up again.
That's not really how case law works. Is what happens at the tribunal should then filter back and go, okay, so it evolves. Just law is a
short of
thing.
The mark. Yeah.
Yep. So I sent it up as this, it came back as this, is what would normally happen in law, is that then filters into what research. The prosecution does, yeah. But whether he just does the same thing again and we go through the same process, I do think that there's the question of force in both of these this week, which is less than last week. So be interesting.
Where do you sit with Sam Durden on Gary Rowan?
Well, this is where strict liability, I've spoken about this a number of times. If you go down the path of strict liability, and that is really what the football world demanded, then unfortunately you end up in this circumstance. If you do choose to execute the bump, you're culpable for whatever happens.
And there are
moments where, see, I don't actually think we needed to change the rule because of the Burton-Higgins incident. We just needed it interpreted differently. What happened in that case was absolutely foreseeable. But once you change it as a result of that and introduce strict liability, then this is strict liability.
I think if we're serious about protecting the players from themselves, protecting the head, and this is for long-term problems, not game day, then maybe we have to lose a couple of players along the way in terms of suspensions. And if it costs a couple of weeks to set the standard, well, you know, so be it for me.
Yeah, so that's what happens here. It wasn't an unreasonable way to shepherd. The outcome is a bad outcome.
If you decide to shepherd with force, that's a likely outcome.
Yeah, and that's what.
Yeah.
Instead of the Burton Higgins one, where we went, it was unforeseeable. It was absolutely foreseeable.
Mm.
Once you take the discretion out of that, instead of just interpreting it a different way and go strict liability, this is where we are. So he's strictly liable for the concussion that gets caused.
So you found a way to get Gary off. Good work.
Nick's in Bundoora. Hello, Nick.
Morning, Jared. Dave, how are you, mate? Happy Richmond supporter here.
Good stuff.
Two things I just wanted to say. Rowan, I think he was a bit stiff about that head clash. That was purely accidental, so the other guy shouldn't really go off. The other thing is that I just wanted to say that Gary Ablett, I think he's honestly, I don't think he should get off. And just ask Dylan Grimes, he'll tell you. What do you think?
No, I think he'll get it. I think we've set the bar only 7 days ago. It's just remarkable. It's the same player with the same action. So I'm not sure that he's learned his lesson necessarily, Gary. But, you know, I'm with you. I didn't think there was a lot in it. The force shouldn't be a week suspension for mine.
Russell's in Geelong. Hello, Russell.
Hey, guys. How are you going?
Good.
This is not to say we should ever feel sorry for people like Gary Ablett, but I mean, obviously, his last couple of years at the Gold Coast weren't great for him, and he copped a lot of criticism for his leadership and probably not wanting to play games of football when he had slight injuries and things. But I'm just so happy for Gary Abbott's been able to come back to Geelong. And, you know, he's in an environment he loves. And I just, you know, everyone needs to know, and Kingy, you'd know this, you've played with great players before. It's not easy being people like Gary Ablett, you know, in the spotlight all the time, but he just holds himself in great esteem. And just so proud yesterday that he was able to elevate himself above all and get Geelong over the line.
Good call. I think he's one of the great entertainers. I really do. Not just his deeds on the field. He's always up for a chat. He's great with us in the media, particularly post-game yesterday. He was fantastic. Gets around to the kids. He engages the fans. He's hard not to love. He really is. Unless you're a Kangaroos supporter, because the last 9 times he's played, Jared, he's averaged 35 disposals and 2 goals a game. I'm sick of him.
Gary's on the road. Hello, Gary.
Good morning, boys. How you going?
Good.
The Durden-Gary Rowan clash, anyone that's watched any footy knows that's a perfect shepherd, apart from banging his head. And strictly by the rules, he's going to get suspended. Strictly by the rules, if you shake the goalpost, we're going to get any discretion?
Are you rules or guidelines? Where are you?
Well, apparently the rule is if you shake the post, it's a kick.
I like this call already, Jared.
Yes.
I think rules and guidelines, we'll see that on 360 tonight. Definitely see it on 360 tonight. You'll be rules and Rubbo will be guidelines. Absolutely nothing surer.
Well, I've got a hunch it's the other way around.
What?
Yeah, I think Robbo's Captain Barbosa.
The code is more what you call guidelines than actual rules.
No, I might have got that wrong. I might be more in that case.
Yeah, I think you
Robbo's
are.
Robbo's in strict liability. I'll just give you a quick update on the NBA. So game seven,
please, Jared, please.
76ers Raptors. 76ers who've trailed for good portions here are now in front, 55-50, 5 minutes to go in the third.
About 3.5 hours to go, Jared. There is.
I watched the last 30 seconds. It was 29.7 seconds of the other game seven, which was about 8 this morning. It took about 11 minutes.
Yeah.
It was an awesome.
We could have done that at Metricon. On the weekend. It all come down to the last minute. And I'll tell you, if you're looking for organisation, and I've got no doubt we'll see it on the shows tonight, the coaching at Melbourne to enable Marty Hoare's opportunity to level the game with under a minute to go.
Yep.
So the first of those centre bounce clearances or the repeat stoppages. Just have a look at the space that Melbourne put to the game. They had all their forwards hold deep, so it left a big void at centre-half forward where there were probably 2 one-on-ones. So the Gold Coast couldn't come off any of those guys. They couldn't leave them. They couldn't get numbers behind the ball necessarily, and there was space everywhere. Now, Marty knew that he had to hold his width and hope that someone would win the ball and flick it out into that open space, which the whole sequence of events fell perfectly for them, but they knew what was required, and I think that's a real skill. They've got huge problems with their kicking inside 50. 66 inside 50s for 11 marks on the weekend, and it's their better players. Oliver kicked it in 8 times for 2 marks. Not bad. Melksham, 6 for none. Petrarca, 5 for none. Gawn, 4 for none. Brayshaw, 3 for none.
Yep.
Their better players have to make better decisions with the football forward of centre. The inside 50 is not an achievement.
Yep.
It's not. You haven't achieved anything. And they've won inside 50s, I think, in 6 of 8 games. So I don't know. Everyone's talking about, oh, Hogan's not there. Their forward line's struggling because, no, their care with the football in the forward half of the ground is non-existent at the moment. And until that corrects, they'll meander down this path.
All right. Let me sneak in Steve in Bentley. Hello, Steve.
Yeah, g'day. How are you?
Very well.
Yeah, you were talking rules and guidelines and that sort of thing. I mean, I'm a Carlton supporter, so the Essendon thing doesn't worry me. My question is about the 666 and this 50-metre to 100-metre penalty. Yes. Carlton had 2 goes at the 666 on the weekend and got warnings twice. And, of course, we've all seen that 50-metre that turned into a 100-metre penalty. Now, Carlton kicked a goal out of it. But it's a rule. If it's a rule, you've got to penalise them. If it's a guideline, then this 666 thing with the warning is just a joke, isn't it?
Maybe there's a third category, Jared.
Yeah.
There's rules, there's guidelines, and there's warnings.
Well, and the warning is built into the rule.
Please hop down from the post. Please hop down. How'd you say before? Hey, pal. Hey, pal. Hey,
bud, just off the post. Off the post. I can picture myself at home. Bench. Get off the post, mate.
Yeah.
Come off the post, pal.
Put your sister down. I'm with that caller. It's just, you know, Steve. I don't want conversation with the umpires. I want you to blow your whistle, tell us what the problem was. Who infringed? That's it. No more conversation. It doesn't solve anything. No one ever agrees. Oh, you know what? You're right, ump. Yeah, spot on. Just no conversation. Pay the free kick. Move on. If they want an explanation, do it at quarter time, half time, post game, whatever.
All right. We'll round out the Monday means test in a moment. And pretty soon, Robert Craddock is going to join me as well. It was magic round in the NRL. Every game was played in Brisbane. The whole community was there. He'll tell us how that unfolded. It does sort of let the mind wander a little bit.
As if we should do that JLT.
It would be Adelaide.
Regional venues.
Oh, I think the
triple headers.
Okay. I think equivalency would be to move a whole round to the Adelaide Oval. That's essentially what the NRL did.
Yeah.
They went to Suncorp. Everyone went. They got 26,000 travelling fans of all persuasions, harness the locals. So I think equivalency would be to put a whole round at the Adelaide Oval. This is Waitley for Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That's Red Energy, and the BMW End of Financial Year event is now on at Doncaster BMW.
We sit here saying, well, we go to 666 and we go to additional distance for kick-ins and all those sorts of things to try and get more flow in the game. The numbers last year clearly show that, you know, teams' defensive actions were a lot stronger last year, and that's just continued this year in my view, you know. And the 666, if anything, has probably meant it becomes more contested, because the reality is you lose a centre bounce, there's no one back there to help you. It's the six defenders on the six forwards. The other thing is that when they win the ball back, there's no extra player there to start the flow in your ball movement. So it actually becomes, again, trying to generate that off the back of an even number start. So don't know. I mean, that's, again, that's, there's always a ripple for every rule change. And, you know, sometimes you can predict it and sometimes you can't. And that's just, so that's just what the game's throwing up at the moment.
Adelaide coach Don Pike, that's as prescriptive as you get, is what he's missing, is the flyer off halfback.
Yeah. Amazing, because they've been an awesome defensive unit the last month or so since they've tinkered and changed fractionally. They've had to, because they were going ordinarily for the first month or so, but they hold a defender back. They've been holding Hardigan and Keith and Talia behind the ball, 50 metres off the back if the ball goes in their forward line, well out the back. They're not allowing the slingshot. So they've changed their defensive method in general play or to not allow the opposition that coast-to-coast score. So that's just been taken off the opposition at the moment. I think most coaches are still getting their head around, or coaching groups are still getting their head around what to do at centre bounces. I'm doing a study at the moment, Jared, on the likelihood of scoring from a centre bounce this year versus last year, yep, or the last half a dozen years. It hasn't really changed. It's marginal. You're talking 3 percentage points in terms of likelihood of winning, getting a centre bounce one on the scoreboard. Yeah, whether you kick it out or your handball kick or your handball kick, there are fractional improvements as to the purity of the kick inside 50. But most clubs just go for a deep entry and try and lock it in and then score from that repeat,
yep,
opportunity. So that's what the game's become. So the coaches have taken us here, and now they're whinging about how we got here. Well, they can't have it both ways. So the game is evolving, and I still think we're seeing different strategies now at centre bounce clearance, and that'll change. We've only had, 8 weeks of it.
Mm.
Let's wait for the full season. See what it's always Melbourne who are the first to try different things. It is always Melbourne. So I think they were the first to bring one, two, three players off the back of the square charging through at centre bounces.
Yep.
And then everyone said, oh, we like that. Let's try that. So the copycat nature of our code is amazing.
I'm going to take two more calls in the means test. I know you want to finish off with a nod to some of the youngsters. Greg's on the road. Hello, Greg.
G'day, gentlemen. How are you?
Excellent.
Yeah, look, I just, you mentioned, I was going to talk about, I'm a Geelong supporter. Two quick things. You talk about Essendon, how Stringer can't do, he's a great player. And he's pretty miraculous, and he is what he is. I equate that to Geelong in the last couple of seasons. We're fortunate we've been up there, but we were in a similar situation. They need Turnahan back, or they need Danaher back. It was like Geelong in the last couple of years, where they're kicking the ball up the ground. Tomahawk's down there by himself. When Radicalea went down last year, it was a disaster, because at least with him down there last year, we had another focal point. The last few years, we haven't had anything. So all we've had really is Tommy. He's running up the ground, trying to get the ball. Tommy Horgan gets the ball on the bloody wing, and he kicks it back to where Tommy Horgan is supposed to be. We had nobody else. This year, everybody's saying, well, how Geelong's a different team. Well, we've got different focal points now, and we've got so many more avenues to go, and it's a no-brainer. And I tell you what, Wellesley needs to be immortalised down at Geelong. He is an incredible bloke.
Yeah, I agree with that. And one of the young cats I was going to mention, Jared, makes a lot of sense, that call. The target,
Greg,
inside the forward sort of 30 is so critical. And that's why I say Jake Stringer, he can do that, like Gary Rowan's doing it, but it's a different sort of entry. It's a different sort of ball that they're having to compete for. That long high ball that comes in,
yep,
that's Radicalea and Hawkins, as the caller said. But it can't be Stringer. It's got to be whilst Danaher's out, they've missed McKernan, they've missed Brown, it has to be Hooker. He's the one who has to go forward. But I watched young Charlie Constable yesterday. He's just sneaking along perfectly. I mean, he came back into the team this week, 27 disposals. First time I've seen him get high-volume touches. They've got a lot of young players down at the Cats that are going to make a big stamp on this season, Jared, which is annoying because you just keep wheeling them out.
And there was a North lad who caught your eye as well.
First game of Curtis Taylor. He had 8 touches and he had about 10 nearly touches. And he was an inch off a 3-goal debut. So fantastic to see him. He was picked 46 or something in the draft. So going to be a player, Jared.
All right, let's close the means test with Robbie in Geelong. Hello, Robbie.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Good.
Just want to talk up Tommy Atkins' efforts yesterday. Obviously, he was injured, but just his ability to stay on the ground and keep rotations going, especially when we lost Stewart and Rowan. If without him doing that, we probably wouldn't have won that game. We would have got overran.
Spot on. Good call. Nothing worse, Jared, when you're sitting on the boundary and you know they've hurt their hamstring, the physios have checked it out, and they're saying, "Up, he's done his hamstring." Then 5 minutes later, they go back on the ground. You go, oh, no. That's a disaster. I mean, Twitter feed the lights up
right,
with feedback, Jared.
Yep.
All positive, of course. But then you see him hobbling around late. But he'd committed those minutes that allowed them to keep. Because the worry is that if you just put a line through Atkins, that your loads to Dangerfield and Ablett and these guys, who are significant pieces in the puzzle, the load to those guys goes through the roof. So for him to just go out there was a special effort, really was.
Good means test, Kingy. Did we solve the man up the post?
Yes, we did.
Excellent. We'll send that through to the AFL. See what they reckon.
You got the rule book?
See,
the guideline book.
I carry the guidelines around.
Where's the warning
me?
Book?
Yes. David King running the Monday means test after round 8. We will do that again next Monday. Robert Craddock is coming up on the program.